That you've joined in our singing tonight. I meant to mention this in the announcements, but I want us to go ahead and mark our calendars as we are accustomed to doing for Sunday, February the 12th, the second Sunday in February. It'll be our Fortifying the Family Day, and we're going to have another outstanding day on that occasion. Dr. Jerry Martin is going to be our guest speaker on this occasion, and I can assure you, you will enjoy hearing the things that he has to say. Well qualified to be our speaker, and we'll be saying more about this in the coming 5 or so weeks, getting our advertising done, and also we need to realize that this is a great opportunity to reach out to our friends and our neighbors. I appreciate so much our elders this morning for the challenge they gave to each of us about going beyond the wire, to go out beyond the walls of this church building and to make an impact in the community, in the workplace where we are, in our schools. Certainly that is our role as a New Testament Christian. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the light of the world. But tonight I want to challenge your thinking, as they did this morning, about how we can go beyond the wire, as it were, in some practical ways, some things that we need to involve ourselves in as we work for the Lord in 2017. Some of these things you may feel like tonight are incidental. You may just take them for granted, and yet, if we're going to be dedicated and faithful to the God of heaven, these are some things that we must be involved in. I just want to suggest tonight perhaps several unrelated ideas that we need to be involved in day by day if we're going to faithfully serve the one who made us all. I might suggest, first of all, tonight that one of the things that we need to involve ourselves in, one work that we need to be strongly involved in, is this idea that we're going to be continually united in love. That's something we have to do if we're going to faithfully serve the Lord. Loving one another, caring deeply for one another as brethren, is not an optional matter. I don't think there's any way that we can overemphasize the importance of loving one another as brethren. Because you know as well as I that sometimes we are somewhat unloving, aren't we? Sometimes some of us are just a little bit cantankerous. Some of us are just a little bit stubborn. And some of us are perhaps more difficult to love than other people are. We have different personalities. We have different ways that we like to go about doing things in our lives. And sometimes it takes a lot of effort and a lot of self-control and discipline if we're going to love one another as brethren. But we need to realize tonight that a part of serving our God is the idea that I'm going to love my brother and my sister in Christ because that's what the Lord requires of me. If for no other reason, that reason is good enough. You know, the apostle of love, John, wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 11, this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I love what he said in 1 John 3 and verse 14. He said, we know that we have passed from death to life. How, John? You know, if somebody is physically sick, perhaps they even appear to be dead, they've lost consciousness, we check for their vital signs. And many times we'll try to find a pulse. We'll try to find some indication that, you know, this person is still alive physically. John asked the question, you know, how do we know that we are no longer dead spiritually? How do we know that we've passed from life, or should say from death to life? What's an indication of that? Well, John answers the question. He says, because we love the brethren. That's one of the things that we can point to that indicates that we are alive spiritually. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." How, Lord? "As I have loved you." In fact, our Lord even went so far as to say that this love is the badge. It is the mark. It is to be the identifying characteristic of discipleship itself. You know, when people in the community observe our interaction together, the fact that we love each other and care for each other and support one another through thick and thin, that is a manifestation to the world that Jesus Christ did in fact come from God. Jesus made that very clear in his prayer in John chapter 17. He said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And so one of the characteristics that we manifest before the world that proves that we are genuine in our discipleship of Jesus Christ is the fact that we love one another. You see, we're talking about things tonight from a practical standpoint that we need to involve ourselves in if we're going to faithfully serve the Lord. And I think a part of that faithful service involves the idea that we're going to love each other, we're going to care for each other in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our personal faults, in spite of our mistakes. We see things differently. Some of you folks may not do things sometimes the way I might like you to do them, and yet I need to love you. And I certainly know many times I don't do things in a way that maybe you would like for me to do, and yet you need to love me. We need to try to love each other as brethren. And I believe it all begins with this idea of cultivating the proper love for God. Because you see, if we love God as we should, if our love is vertical toward God, then that love naturally is going to flow in a horizontal way toward our brethren. John said, if a man say, "I love God," and yet hate his brother, he is a liar. For he who loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You see, folks, we are commanded to love one another. And the Lord even took this idea even further. We're not only to love those in the church, those in the brotherhood, as Peter talked about here, but Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 44, love your enemies. Now, does that mean that I need to invite my enemies and we need to go to a trip to Disney World together? We're going to spend a lot of time together because I love my enemies. He's not talking about some kind of warm, fuzzy, emotional feeling that we have toward our enemies. See, this kind of love is a biblical love. It's seeking another person's goodwill. It's seeking their interest, even above our own interest. It's seeking their good and their well-being above our well-being. It really is not tied necessarily to emotion. Instead, it's a decision of the will. It's a determination of the mind that regardless of how you treat me, and regardless of the harm that you might try to bring toward me, that I'm going to love you and do good to you in spite of the evil that you might want to bring into my life. And we're going to have to be more concerned about each other as brethren. And I think that includes those who are young all the way through those who are older. There needs to be this tie of love that binds us together. And so as we think about this year turning over a new leaf, we need to resolve that we're going to work on this. That we're going to love each other and care for each other as brethren like we never have before. That means we're going to be other person-centered. We're going to be focused on the other individual and what's going on in their lives and how we can bear their burdens. We're not inner focused any longer. Instead, we're focused on what we can do to serve and to help other people. In the next place, though, I want to suggest as well that if we're going to go beyond the wire, if we're going to really work for the Lord, we need to determine that we're going to stand up for the truth of God's Word. We need to stand up and be firm and bold in our stand for the truth. I realize today in our culture, we deal with a lot of pressure. People say that there are no absolutes. People today emphasize, you know, being politically correct. Everything is relative. You know, what's right for you may not be right for me. What's wrong for you may not be wrong for me. We are fed that kind of garbage on television and in the media almost 24 hours a day. People abhor the idea that there is an objective body of truth, that there are things that are right, that there are things that are wrong. And that it's possible for one to know the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, we can't stand for and defend that which we're not acquainted with. And we need to be the kind of people that are willing to stand for the truth. You know, this morning at lunch, I said, "Philip, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Tomorrow night in the Alabama-Clemson game, are you going to be pulling against Alabama?" And without hesitation, he said, "Yes, sir." You know what? I appreciate that. He is a man of conviction. I saw his conversion, the full conversion from Alabama to Auburn in the kick six in 2013. It was very obvious what had happened. And now I know that he's at the point of no return. He is convicted about that. And I respect that. I admire that. That's the answer I was really hoping he was going to give me deep down inside. And you know, we need to be people of conviction as well regarding what the Bible says. But we can't be convicted about that which we're not really familiar with. I think about a congregation that had invited a particular man to come and to speak at a youth meeting. And it was found out that this particular man that was coming, and advertising had been done and preparations had been made, but it was found that this particular man had endorsed a book that approved women's role, leading role in worship. And I'm thankful that that congregation called that man and told him not to come. I think that's the kind of an example we need as far as standing up for the truth. We need to uphold the truth. We need to be kind and gentle and loving, and yet we need to be firm as we stand for God's truth. You know, we just ought to understand the importance of faithfully serving the Lord of heaven. And that involves standing up for the truth of God's Word. You know, Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. He said, "Sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts." Now that's where everything in Christianity begins. We are to set apart the Lord God in our hearts. We know the Lord. We know that we know Him when we keep His commandments. And to set apart the Lord in our hearts means that His Word guides our every move. His Word guides our decisions. His Word guides every way that we live our lives. And as we know God's will by studying God's will, as we sanctify Him in our hearts, Peter goes on to say, "You be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason for the hope that is in you." In other words, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Our convictions need to be our own. Our religion should never be a religion that's just been handed down from one generation to the next. We need to be firmly convinced that what we believe is true and right according to the Word of God. And we need to be willing to even die for the truth. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And if we're going to be faithful to God, that means when we get up in the morning and we go to our jobs, or maybe we go to school, we go to our classes, whatever activity that we're engaging in, when we hear the Word of God ridiculed, when we hear reproach being brought against the Bible, when Bible teachings are being violated, when we know that the church of our Lord is being unjustly ridiculed, we need to very kindly and humbly but firmly stand up and defend the truth of God's Word. You see, a part of our everyday Christian service, no matter where we are or what we might be doing, is standing up for the Bible. Let's not just be content to go to our jobs and spend 8 hours a day just doing our work, but let's make a difference in the lives of people. And we need to realize that one of our obligations, one of our responsibilities today as we work for the Lord is to defend the truth of God's Word. Let's never be ashamed to say, yes, I believe in the Bible. I believe that is inspired of God. Let's stand up for that Word and let's faithfully defend it. Let me say also as well tonight, as we think about going beyond the wire, if you please, work that we need to involve ourselves in. And certainly you look at our world today, you see what's on television and what Hollywood is doing to our culture and our society. We need to work and labor to practice purity. Purity doesn't come easy. If you watch television for very long, you know that sex is used to sell everything from tires to toothpaste to automobiles, anything in the world, hamburgers, no matter what you may think about, people use sexuality to sell things. Sex saturates everything on television. You can't even watch a commercial without being engrossed in that kind of thing. It's not like it was several years ago, although it was bad then, but it just seems like with social media and our modern technology, Netflix, internet access, we are just bombarded with this idea of sexual impurity. Nothing wrong, it seems, anymore with having sexual relations before marriage. That just seems like it's no longer any big deal. And we're crazy if we don't think that's affecting our young people and their mentality and their thinking today. You know, deep down they may think, well, I know it's wrong. I know the Bible says it's wrong, but can it really be so bad? You know, everybody else is doing it. And so purity does not come without cost and effort. Living good, moral, upright lives does not come without labor. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Matthew 5 and verse 8. And we need to work and labor to keep our hearts pure. Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 8 challenges us to think on things that are pure. We're admonished to keep ourselves pure in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22. And certainly that would apply to everything that we do. We need to be pure in our thoughts. We need to be pure in our words, the things that we speak. We need to be pure in the way that we dress. We need to realize that in our actions, we need to conduct ourselves and behave ourselves in a way that would demonstrate purity and godliness before those with whom we live. Then let me suggest as well, as we consider this idea tonight, I want to suggest that if we're going to really work for the Lord, we need to resolve to be faithful in every area, generally speaking. For example, when it comes to worshiping God, I need to make the resolve that God being my helper, if I can be anywhere else, if I can go anywhere else, I'll be at worship services on Wednesday night. I'll be there on Sunday night. I'll be there for Bible class because I realize that that's important for me to grow as a Christian if I really want to be faithful. We need to resolve that we're going to be faithful unto death. We need to determine that we're going to manifest an attitude of faithfulness in our worship. And then what about going out and seeking and saving the lost? You know, when you turn over to the book of Acts, we are amazed at the growth of that early church. When you think about the church of the first century, the saved saved the unsaved. The found found the unfound. The disciples discipled the undiscipled. They realized that they were saved to save other people. And they went everywhere preaching the word, Acts chapter 8. And verse 4. And that needs to be our attitude as well. You know, there are people we work with, people we associate with, go to school with on a daily basis that perhaps are good, moral, upright people, but they're lost. And I want to challenge you this year as you go about your everyday activities, whether it's at work, I want you to see that coworker not just as a coworker. I want you to see that coworker as a soul that's going to live eternally. I want you to see that person in the desk beside you at school as a soul that's going to live somewhere eternally. That friend that you have, that neighbor, that relative that you spend some time with from time to time. I want you to see those individuals as souls. Those that need to be saved. And we need to realize that all around us, there are people who are lost. They're going about their everyday activities and they have absolutely no hope whatsoever. And we have the cure. We have the cure for sin. We have the answer to all their problems. We have the answer as to what they can do in order to be forgiven of sin and to live forever with God in heaven. You know, the mission of Jesus is stated in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Someone said that Christ has no hand but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to lead men to his side. You see, if we fail to do our job in teaching the lost around us, the job simply will not be done. And then I want to suggest as well tonight that along these same lines, and I think very closely tied to these ideas, is the thought that we need to cultivate patience one with another. We need to try to be more understanding one toward another. You know, the Bible says, brethren, count it all joy, James chapter 1 and verse 2, when you fall into manifold trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I think patience needs to begin with ourselves. When we are dealing with sickness or adversity, when tragedy strikes, when we lose a dear loved one, when there's some kind of terrible catastrophe in our lives, we need to resolve that we're not going to allow that to cause us to be bitter toward God. But we're going to understand that that's just the nature of life. And if we're faithful, we will have the crown of life. But not only that, I think we need to be more patient with our brethren. Paul admonishes us in Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore. Bring back such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In fact, Paul goes on to say that we need to be patient toward all men, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. I know we need to be more patient. I know I need to be much more patient than I am. And we need to make up our minds as we live our lives this coming year that we're going to be more patient toward the members of our family, our husbands, our wives, our children, that we're going to be more patient toward our brethren. And this idea of patience is hard to cultivate. It's hard to maintain. That's why the Bible says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Jesus said, you have need of patience. And I think if there's anything that all of us need today, it's the need for patience. Then I thought about this as well, as we think about working for the Lord. I think certainly as we think about our relationship to God and our relationship to the Lord's church, we need to be willing to always support the leadership of the local congregation. You know, when you think about it, every member of the Lord's church, if we're going to be Christians, we have certain qualifications, and certainly when it comes to the qualifications of elders regarding their moral lives, we as Christians need to strive to have those same kind of moral qualifications. And I understand that we are all leaders as Christians in the sense that we're to try to lead other people to the light of the world by our lives each day, and yet we need to understand that in each congregation, the elders are the overseers in the body of Christ. And if we're going to serve the Lord the way we should, we need to always determine that we're going to hold their hands high. And we need to always fully and completely support them. I just believe that a congregation like this will continually march forward if the members feel good about its leadership. And I think that's the main reason why this church has experienced such tremendous success through the years. It's because of the capable men who in the past and who are presently serving as elders. Men who care for our souls. Men who genuinely want to be true to the Word of God. Men that care deeply for each one of us. They realize that one day they're going to give an account. And I believe that our elders are very conscientious about making sure that they carry out their work in the most godly way they possibly can. That's why the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. And watch for your souls that they must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Let's determine that we're going to have a high regard for our elders. That's not true everywhere, folks. People today, generally speaking, if you observe our society, people rebel against authority, don't they? Remember the election just a few weeks ago? Many of the people's candidate didn't get elected. So what did they do? Well, they quit school for a day or two, didn't they? They got out and they protested because they didn't like the results of the election. These poor people needed to be appeased. They needed somebody to just support them and help them in their cause. You see, folks, we need to realize that we are subject to authority. God has all authority. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. We are to respect those who are in authority, Romans chapter 13. And in God's church today, elders are the ones who have the authority. And therefore, even though we may not agree with every decision that is made, we still go along with that decision because it's a matter of judgment. It's a matter of opinion. And we need to respect the authority of those that make those decisions. I hope tonight that these thoughts have been helpful to you. I hope that as we think about this year of 2017, that we'll resolve that we're going to be more sacrificial, that we are going to put the Lord first, the needs of the kingdom of God first in our lives. And realize, as Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 23, if any man desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So tonight I ask you the question, as we are about to sing this song of encouragement, have you been faithful to God? Have you really been working and resolving in your heart to put the Lord first in everything? Are you willing to give the Lord your very best? Have you done that? If not, will you not resolve to do it? You know, that decision to give the Lord your best begins with the decision to obey the gospel. That's why tonight we give you yet another opportunity. If you need to obey the gospel and you believe Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of your sins, tonight you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Tonight the invitation is yours if you're subject to it. We ask that you come now while we stand and sing.